I'm Lieutenant Joe Pangaro. I've been a cop for 27 years. I like to say I got a backstage pass to life. Well, guess what? I got some tickets for you. So come on in, pull up a chair, turn up that volume, and let's go. Chasing Justice is on.
All right, everybody, and welcome back to Chasing Justice. I'm your host, Lieutenant Joe. And that's right, today we've dragged in somebody from the neighborhood, somebody, a voice you haven't heard in a long time, Jim the Contrarian Giordano. So, Jim, welcome aboard.
Thank you, Joe. Glad to be here.
I'm glad to have you, and I know our listeners out there have missed you and the other members of the neighborhood. We've had Kathy on quite a few times, and she's very popular, actually. She's a smart, very smart woman, and she adds a lot to the show. So, listen, what I would like to do in this segment, Jim, is kind of a free-form run on what's been going on with the president and what's going on with the investigation and with everything else to make sure that we cover as much as we can. So when I look and I see, first of all, we know the investigation is really starting to heat up. This past week, I was lucky enough to be on Malcolm Out Loud show. Then we talked about what we see going on with General Flynn. Now, that's got to annoy you as a proud American to realize what they did to this American general, to attack him, to go after him. And it turns out, for no good reason.
Extremely distressing, Joe. But the thing is, I've been confident that he was an innocent man for 3.5 years now, along with Carter Page, the George Papadopoulos. It was a hit job.
Absolutely a hit job from beginning to end. And we see, now, for a long time, you and I have talked right here on Chasing Justice, and we had concerns that Bob Barr might not do the right thing when the time comes. That he might, come out with a couple of people and pick them off here and there. But then everyone else would be like unindicted co-conspirators, and you won't see anybody actually under arrest, anybody big. You still thinking that same way, or are you seeing things different?
I hope not. I have a lot of faith in Bob Barr. There's been a lot of talk on the internet regarding that justice is going to be served. I've been hearing it for 3.5 years now. So let's just hope that everybody who's complicit in this needs to go to jail or needs to be indicted. And that goes right up to our former President Obama.
Which is interesting because now there's a lot of talk about apparently he knew more than anybody thought he did. Not us. I think us and many in the conservative world all knew that you can't run a conspiracy like this to go after a candidate for the President of the United States and the president not know anything about it.
Well, and a sitting president. It's multiple conspiracies on top of each other. You had the Flynn thing, then you had the Russia collusion. I mean, it was just one conspiracy, made-up conspiracy, long word, made-up attack to destroy a sitting president and a candidate over and over and over again.
Now, that's interesting. When I was talking with Malcolm, and we discussed this topic, Malcolm says he would like to see basically the conspirators, and that's what this really is. This is a conspiracy, and I laid that out there. This is a conspiracy crime at its real heart. He says he would like to see the conspirators hung in town square.
I would agree. It's treason.
You think this is treason?
It's the worst thing that could ever happen to our country. Whether we like the president or the party coming into office, we supported those presidents, like you and I both said, we supported Obama as our president. Not that we liked him, but he was still our president. The people spoke. Well, you know something? This is totally different. This is taking down a sitting president. Our system doesn't work.
Isn't that really attacking you and me?
Yes.
When they do that?
Yes.
Because our vote, they don't agree. We're stupid. We don't know what we're doing. It should have been them and their power. See, that's where I think it comes down to. Their conspiracy was... Initially, they wanted to make sure that Hillary won so they could all maintain their power. So they were going to do whatever they could to maintain that power base, which gives them the lifestyle that they want, and they run everything. Once they realized what they had done and Trump won, the clock started ticking. Because at that point, they had no choice but to continue with the conspiracy to try and destroy him because they were going to take power, the Trump people, and they would be able to see all these records and know all these things. So my theory has always been that continued conspiracy after he won was at that point based on abject terror that we would find out. What did Hillary say in that email to Donna Brazile? She says, "This if this son of a bitch wins, we're all going to hang. You better fix this." Because she knew. She's up to this in her eyeballs. Obama's probably up to this in his eyeballs. We know he knew about it. All of these other people that have been talking for months and months and months, and we know now that they're lying. You see all of the interviews that Adam Schiff didn't want to come out. Suddenly they're out, and we find out all these people that go on TV, we know there's collusion. We've seen the evidence. Everybody's got the evidence. It turns out in there,
no evidence.
I don't know anything. There is no evidence I'm aware of. I don't know what to say. When I'm under oath, they had to tell the truth. And there is no evidence at all of the conspiracy.
No, but I think it's bigger than that. They don't dislike Trump because of his politics. Because, believe it or not, Trump is less of a conservative than most conservatives. They dislike Trump because he's not part of the criminal scheme that I think exists in this country. And what they've been raping the taxpayers to enrich themselves for years.
Right.
And that's all of government.
And I think that's my point with saying they wanted to protect theirs. This guy, who's this guy coming in here? He's gonna change everything. He's gonna hold people to account. He's going to stop spending money with, right now it's the World Health Organization. They're robbing us blind. They're a backup for China. And here we are in lockdown for how many weeks now? So I think that's what they were afraid of. I think you're right. They were trying to protect their own, and he was a disruptor, and they didn't like
it. Why do you think they want us, the Democrats, want us to remain in lockdown? It seems like there's a concerted effort. Is it just so Trump loses the election? Because the economy tanks, because Trump has a very good platform that the economy was doing very, very well. You think that's what it is?
I think that's more? Probably a lot of it, because I think I saw something today in one of the news feeds that 27 red states are looking to open or open, and 24 blue states are absolutely closed. There's got to be a reason. There's no such thing as coincidence. As any of my law enforcement friends will tell you, there is no such thing as coincidence. Everything is for a reason. And if they're staying shut, New York and New Jersey, I could give the benefit of the doubt to those two governors who have lost, 35,000 people just about in their two states. I could see them panicking. But all these other states saying, hang on a second, yes, we've lost people. They probably lost twice as many people to the regular flu this year as they've lost to COVID, and they're shut down tight. What is that for? There has to be a reason that people want to. What's going to be the overall impact, you think, of the U.S. being shut until July?
Well, I think it's going to take a while for the economy to come back. And what perfect timing if it doesn't come back before the next election. Is that what the plan is? So they don't care who loses their small business, who can't pay their mortgage. It's all about the next election so they regain power. That's how I see it, Joe.
Well, It's a shame because I know a lot of people are really hurting now. You're starting to see more and more people gathering. Like here in New Jersey, our governor here came out with an edict yesterday or the day before. They're doing these drive-by birthday parties now and drive-by grad. Everybody puts a sign on their car
annoying.
And you drive by. It is, but you know what? It's something for these young people to have. Now he comes out, drive-by anythings are illegal. You can't do them. We don't want. What the hell? I'm in my own car. Why can't I drive by?
Who was he?
That was Governor Murphy.
Now, who is he to say such a thing?
Right. Well, that's a whole other question here. Are these governors, these blue state or red state governors, giving their people back more control of their lives? But the blue state governors, is this their chance to really show? Imagine if these people took over on a full scale the tyranny that they would impose. They're trying to do gun laws behind the thing. They're giving themselves pay raises. They're keeping businesses closed. They arrested the woman and put her in jail for opening her business, and they want to do that to other places.
I don't think that's legal. I think constitutionally, listen, I put the mask on, I quarantine, because that's the right thing to do considering what I understand this virus is. But I don't think government has the power to quarantine people. I don't think government has the power to close the beach. I just don't think it's freedom of assembly. That's in the Constitution. We do it because I elect to do it. And because you have to follow your leaders as best you can. But I don't think, I think this whole thing is an overstep by the government, including the federal government. I mean, but Trump is careful. These are our guidelines.
Right.
As soon as you put those guidelines into law, now I start to have a problem with it.
Well, that's the effect of law, a decree. You know, the reason you can arrest someone when a governor makes a decree is under emergency powers. They have different powers under emergency because you have to have them. You know, the storm is coming. You live on the beach. Get off the beach. No, it's not a mandatory evacuation. No, we see this big one coming. You're going to die. It's going to cost us lives to get people to save you because you're going to call for help as soon as the waves start crashing through your front door. So it's mandatory now. You'll leave or they'll drag you out. Okay, there's some times when a decree can have that power of law. But to say, like you said, this is a First Amendment right to get together, for us to congregate. And they're saying, absolutely not, we're going to arrest you. Did you see that the mayor of Chicago? She came out, if you go to a birthday party, if you go to any place together, if more than 10 of you, you're going to jail. At the same time, they're letting felons out of prison.
It's sickening.
What do you see what these people will do if they get power? The whole idea is to let these prisoners out. Why?
Well, I don't get it at all.
I could see if they said, you know what, we're going to close down the jails because we think everyone's going to die in the jail. Then they can make an argument, we have to let some of the prisoners out. I don't agree with it, but I could see what... But to say, Jim, you open your barbershop and we're letting a murderer out because we don't want him to get sick, but your butt is going to jail, sir. What is that? Where is there logic in that? Where is there any common sense in that?
There's no logic. It's a sad state of affairs that I see in this country, that we've come to this.
Well, we're kind of divided, right? Because here's the thought.
They want us divided.
Yeah, well, we couldn't be more divided, I think. At this point, you'd have to say, what, our country is 51-49, and it depends on the day of the week, that which way the country will go on election day. Because it's not like we're all going in the same direction. We're loving America and we want to make everyone do really well. No, there's people that want to completely change our circumstance and turn us into a socialist nation. And this is their opportunity to do it. And it's not just a few freaks. It's lots and lots of people that you think are normal, considerate individuals, people that we know and love in our families, have these ideas. You know, maybe socialism would actually be better than this evil capitalism where it's not fair. And I don't understand where that's come from.
Two things that happened today, and I'm not sure of the veracity of it, but I read Angela Merkel, the German government, has indicated that they think that the quarantine was a mistaken policy. That's very unusual, especially coming from the German government. I think that there are a lot of countries that did not quarantine, and they have the exact same death rates that we do. And in some cases, like Sweden, less of a death rate. But, you know, you have to make an accounting for population density and things of that nature.
Sure.
Now, I'm not sure that we chose the right course of action here.
Yeah, and you know what? That's something for us to look at. And anytime you have any kind of an event, an emergency event, when it's over, you have to sit down and you have to do a critique of it and figure out from the beginning to the end, what was the stimulus that made us do this? Did we interpret it correctly? Did we get the right facts? Did the right people give us information to act on? Then how did we act? And you take that apart piece by piece to help you make a plan for the next time. All right, so if that's storm coverage, right? How did we react when we found out the storm was coming? At what point did we decide, uh-oh, it's going to be big enough to really hurt us, and now we go into action? Well, this situation, this virus, is really a storm. We saw it coming. And initially, I think the reason you and I and everybody else went along with this whole lockdown thing, they were telling us that 3 or 4 million people in America were going to die from this, that this was going to kill you and me, right? Here we are in the prime of our lives, taking care of our families, and guess what? You're going to get it. You're going to die. That's crazy. That seemed so out of proportion that, you know what, okay, we'll lock down, let's see what goes on here. But then as the numbers started coming out and you started to see, okay, really, it's people 60 and older that have other complications to their health. If you're a healthy person, you might get sick, but you'll probably be okay. Younger people, there was nobody, I think, under 17, except for there was one baby, I think, in New York that passed. That was COVID-related, they called it. But we can't even believe those numbers because we know the hospitals get extra money for declaring something
that's
COVID-related.
Exactly right.
So, guy got hit on a motorcycle, but he had COVID. So it's a motorcycle-related death. We have no place to get the truth from anybody.
I saw a graph. It was the influenza deaths of the last 10 years. It was the exact same normal bell curve, you know, with some deviations per year. But it was, they were all, the lines were just grouped together. Then they had this year's influenza death rate. That bell curve was much shallower than the last 10 years. So there was a lot less people who died from influenza. The question is why? And the reason is, and it seems logical, that they were taking influenza deaths and putting it into the COVID-19 death arena for what you said, because you get $32,000 for Medicare and Medicaid for the COVID-19 death. That's, I'm not sure that's the reason, but it appears that there's a...
Well, there's another old saying in law enforcement, follow the money, all right? There's some true things. If you're going to tell somebody that they're going to get more money because a death that is a flu, basically, it's an influenza, this one's a COVID, it's still the same kind of a thing, it's a respiratory disease. If somebody dies from that, you're going to get $32,000 more. Well, you know what? Every old person that comes in that dies, or every person that comes in and dies, you know what? That's probably COVID or COVID-related. Now I hear they're talking about these younger kids now who didn't get sick and die from COVID because they're strong and healthy and their systems are strong. Now they're saying that there's these ancillary effects that they're noticing to young people that are causing inflammation of different parts of their body that could have been the virus going through them, that they just didn't come down with it like the older people. They didn't get, you know, they need their ventilators, they didn't have to go to hospital, that this could be related to these younger people. I don't know whether to believe that or think that that's something just to say, hey, we got to keep this going because we got to stay locked down.
I think it's fear-mongering to keep it going. I'll be honest with you. I could be wrong. What do I know? I'm not a doctor. But I'm telling you that there's something out there that the statistics do not fit perfectly like they should. Somebody's playing a game here.
Right.
I'm not sure what it is.
Well, they said 3 to 4 million people would die from this. We're nowhere near that. Now, every single one of those deaths is important to that family and to that individual who lost their life, of course. But what do we have nationwide? I'm trying. New York has 20-something. New Jersey has 10. The rest of the country has 20, maybe 60,000 people might die from this COVID. That's a terrible thing. But that's not 3 or 4 million. 3 or 4 million means you and I might have died if this thing got us. So I think you're right. The numbers, and that's what we have to look in the aftermath of this. But I think that's one of the reasons people are upset now, is that we're starting to see these numbers, and they're still telling us, oh no, this lockdown's going on. It's going on longer. Now, the logical question then to say is, if you take panic out of it, if you take conspiracy theory out of it, let's see, would they ever, the government or the people in power, would they ever use the FBI and the DOJ to try and destroy an individual and overturn an election? No. But they did. So would we put it past people who came up with an impeachment of a president, knowing that none of this stuff was real? They had to know none of it was real. Adam Schiff knew. Well, he stood up there making the motions for impeachment. He had to know. Everybody in his committee that he brought in there and interviewed said, I have no evidence whatsoever that this took place. And he did it anyway. Now, would we put it past all these same people to say, hey, there's this disease out there, it's going to kill you, and now it's going to kill children in a secondary way, and next thing you know, sparrows are going to fly out of the sky because they're sick, and the beaks are going to kill. Who knows? I wouldn't put it past them for 1 second.
I agree, and the big problem here that I see that's looming is that I've lost faith in the government years ago. Now I have very little faith in the government, including the CDC, the National Institutes of Health. It's a sad state of affairs because you have to, at some point, have faith.
Yeah, it's all been politicized. Yeah. That's the problem. That's the problem here on Chasing Justice. We've narrowed it down. And when you lose the faith of Jim Giordano and your government, you know you've reached a bad place. This is Lieutenant Joe Pangaro. We'll be back in a minute with more Chasing Justice here on the America Out Loud Radio Network.
AmericaOutloud.com is the voice of liberty and justice for all. As we celebrate our 4-year anniversary, thank you for making it all possible. Well, shouldn't news deliver truth and inspire us to reach higher? With blogs, podcasts, video, and 24/7 talk radio on our free apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa, we are the vision of the voices, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Chasing Justice. I'm your host, Lieutenant Joe Pangaro. I want to have a big shout out to my 87-year-old father-in-law, Ted Bonner. That's right. Ted is a big fan of Chasing Justice. He's a big fan of America, and he listens all the time. He listens to Chasing Justice. He listens to Lieutenant Randy, who he loves that show, and he listens to all of Malcolm's programs. And I got to tell you, the other day, Jim, I was listening, because I do. I flip on the app, and I just listen to the shows that are on. There are so many different topics on America Out Loud that is so interesting. I was listening to Talking While Married, and what a great show. I really enjoyed every minute. I'm listening to it. It was interesting conversation, and the way they got along was great. But it's like that with a lot of the shows, you know. And then the podcast, you know, you can catch all of our Chasing Justice podcasts. I had somebody tell me the other day, they said, hey, I was going through your podcast and I listened to the game show you guys did, and I was hysterical. I said, actually, that's one of my favorites just to listen to. I laugh so hard just at us doing that. But hey, all of this stuff is on podcast. You can find us out there on any podcast that's your favorite. But listen to all the shows on America Out Loud. It's really a great place for free speech, and it is a valuable commodity to have in a time when you can't trust anybody. At least here, we give you our honest opinion. I tell you, it's our opinion. You know, nobody's trying to convince you of something to make you do anything. Speaking of that, Jim, to get away from, you know, the world of politics there for a minute, I guess, I see some people who have come out and said to me, you know, they're following me on the Twitter. It's at Pangaro Global. And I see, hey, we love the show. Thank you. And then I say, hey, wait a minute. That's the Q that you're always telling me about, this Q. So give us any Q updates on what's going on with Q.
Yeah, for those who didn't, I've been following Q since 2017. Nobody knows exactly who he is. He's supposedly some kind of intelligence operative who works closely with Trump. He has what they call a Q clearance. But for 3 years, he's been talking about the what has happened with the takedown of President Trump. But he's also been talking about that at some point, these people are coming to justice. And recently, there's been a lot of talk on his... He posts on a website called Q.pub, QBaptop.pub, that the... this week, starting this week, it's all going to come out. All the truth that's been held from us for many, many years. And it goes back further than President Obama. He insinuates that Bush was not a good player, both Bushes. The only presidents in, according to Q, that were not part of this global cabal were John F. Kennedy, a Democrat, and he was assassinated, as you know. Ronald Reagan, who there was an attempted assassination on him, and since Eisenhower, I should preface it, and Donald Trump. And Donald Trump's whole purpose in life is to get rid of the deep state cabal, that the shadow government that's behind the government we think is running America.
Well, that's a pretty heavy lift to get rid of all of them. So I find it interesting with this, because I do see people make references to it. It's kind of like a secret club. You know, you're in the Q club. You seem to know things that other people don't know. But you're right. We've been hearing about this for really a long time, that this big crescendo is going to come, and now he's predicting that it's going to come this week, right? Or something's coming.
Well, he says only 20% of the truth, because it's too hard for the people to handle. That's what Q says is going to come out. But that 20% is going to be enough for people to change their minds about what is really happening in this world. And it's going to focus right now on what's happening with President Trump, with General Flynn, but it goes much deeper, much deeper. I mean, you can read up on it all day, but the Trilateral Commission, the Bilderberg Group, all these secret groups of industrialists who've been basically running the world and using the finance system to control people for hundreds of years.
And the purpose is what? So they control the money?
Well, they use the money to control the people.
And why do you want to control the people? Don't you want just the money? I mean, what's the big deal if I tell you when and where you can go to the bathroom, if I, as long as I get all the money?
I don't know. That's what they live for. I mean, have you ever heard of the Georgia Guidestones?
No. Georgia Guidestones. No, I haven't.
Someone erected a monument in Georgia called the Georgia Guidestones. And you can always look it up. But it really has the purpose. This is what the professed purpose of this global cabal. One of the things on the Georgia Guidestones is they want a population of humans on the face of the earth of 500 million. Why? I don't know, because they can't control 6 billion.
Well, right now there's 6 billion, so that'd be a lot of people got to go.
Yes, but the good news is, according to Q, that we've already won this battle. This battle is not only a battle, he says it's a biblical battle for the earth. It's already been won. It's just going through this process, which may be painful.
So
some parts of
when
humanity.
You say that we've already won, that somehow he has this behind-the-scenes knowledge, right?
Which is very, very mysterious.
It's very mysterious.
Yes.
Is this aliens we're fighting? I mean, you know, aliens from space. Woo-woo-woo, you're coming down. Is that who we're talking about?
No, he never talked anything about aliens. Someone asked him at one point. It was a question and answer, and someone asked, and he evaded that subject. He never said they didn't exist. But it's really about... I hate to use the word again, a cabal, a group of people on earth that have been trying to take away the freedom of humanity for centuries.
See, and that's the part of this whole kind of a thing that I really don't get. You know, I can understand a group that wants to get together and control the price of everything, so that, hey, they maintain their unbelievable lifestyle that they have, that they stay in power, their family stays in power. But when you talk about something that's stretching on for hundreds of years, that's a very, very elaborate conspiracy. Like, what do they do? Sit down with their son? Okay, son, you're old enough now to know we're controlling people. We want to kill off 7 billion people, so there's only 500 million, and we can control them, and we have everything, and they have nothing. I mean, I don't
get
that.
I get what you're saying, because you and I don't have that mentality. Maybe there are people out there that do.
Right.
I mean, how much money do you need? Just think about it. How much money do you need? You have these people on earth that have billions of dollars, and there's some people out there that aren't in the Forbes 500 that have a lot more. The Rothschilds, they control all the banking systems on all the governments, and all these governments are now going bankrupt, including the U.S. government, by the way.
Yeah.
One thing he did allude to is that the dollar will go down.
Mm-hmm.
Trump knows this, and we're going to go to a gold system.
You think we're going to go to the gold system?
We're going to go back to the gold system, and that is Trump's ultimate plan.
And how does that help the average person to go to the gold system?
Because our money, when the dollar goes down, mm-hmm. hyperinflation. Remember hyperinflation in in Germany before World War II?
Mm-hmm.
There are people, the middle class, like you and me, Joe, they became poor. Because you have, let's say you have 10 bucks in the bank, just use the number. When hyperinflation comes around, that 10 bucks is worth a half a cent, even less.
Mm-hmm.
So you spend a whole life saving for a retirement, and when the money doesn't mean anything, when you're printing money, you go into hyperinflation. With the gold system, governments can't manipulate it.
So you can only print as much money as you have gold to back it up.
Exactly.
So what happens when you have a war situation? And now, you know what? We need to buy jet aircraft. We need to buy in. We need billions and trillion dollars to fight the next war against China, a hot war against China in the South Pacific to get them out of our interests. And we only have so much gold. We can't afford it. What do we do?
What we did in World War II. The gold, the dollar was backed by gold up until 1961, I believe it was. It was Richard Nixon who went to fiat currency. In the 1940s, what did they do? They sold war bonds. So there's a way of doing it. But I tell you one thing, I'd rather have my money system that means something. I mean, it doesn't have to be gold. Some people speculate it's going to be cryptocurrency.
Which is, again, I think that's based on nothing. There's no value to it. It's just a coin that somebody made up.
But gold, at least, is an element. I agree, because I don't know enough about it. But there aren't any bankers in some Federal Reserve who are just printing money. And that's exactly, and the interest rates. Every government on the face of this earth is facing debt problems. You know, the African countries, they go into debt, they can't feed their people, they go into debt, and next thing you know, the interest rates are so high, they can't even operate the government. And the people are starving. That is what's going to happen here, Venezuela.
And you know what? And that's a systematic problem we have across the world. Everything is cost so much more. Just look at your own regular life. You know, you said before, how much do you need? Well, I always had a problem with somebody asking that question. I don't mean you personally. I'm just saying in general. If somebody makes $50,000 and they're living comfortably, wherever they live in part of the country where you can live comfortably on $50,000. Here in New Jersey, you cannot live comfortably on $50,000. It's a struggle to have nice housing, to have a good, decent car, to be able to do the things for your family. $50,000 is nothing in this part of the country. So if somebody makes $65,000, that $50,000 person goes, hey, you got $15,000 more than you need, because I'm making it on $50,000. Now you got a guy who makes $200,000. He really doesn't need that much money. So we should be able to go take some of that from him. That's where that thinking comes from. And I say, well, wait a minute. Anybody that makes more than you has a better opportunity than you. So that's right. I'll never like that question.
We're stuck in this world of the Babylonian money magic slavery system. You know, first of all, why is everything about money? Why should it cost money to live? Yes, I understand we have to pay taxes. But the government got out of control with the taxes. Yes, we need police forces, we need fire departments, but it shouldn't cost that much money to live. But as you know, here in New Jersey, just the rents are out of control.
Right. Well, let's take a look at that for a minute. Let's unpack that for a second, because that's where I think we're looking at. New York and New Jersey, we were part of that SALT thing, right? The property tax, you can only deduct $10,000, and it's part of the Trump's tax package. And it really hurt places like New York and New Jersey that are bright blue states with big liberal governments and tons of different programs for every kind of thing you can imagine that's draining our finances. And basically, he came in and said, listen, there's lots of other states that don't have income tax. Why should you be able to write off the programs you want to do, and it has to be covered by people in Kansas or Wyoming? That's not fair. So you can't write off all of that anymore. And that hurt you and me, that we can't write off our stuff that we used to be. But even in this COVID thing, now you see these states are screaming, the governors are begging, they want money. And Trump came out and said, listen, I'm not coming in to save your liberal decisions.
Absolutely.
If it's COVID-based, I'll help you, but I'm not going to give you money to bail out your pensions, and that's going to affect me. To bail out your pensions, to bail out your welfare systems, that's all on you. You need to redesign those systems. And one of the things he's very upset about is the sanctuary cities that are not cooperating with the federal government, that are allowing illegal aliens to stay here. They have them on all kinds of different programs. So what basically he's saying is, hey, you have all that money you're giving away by your choice. Don't do it, and you'll have more money for your genuine, legitimate citizens that you're supposed to represent.
He's trying to force discipline upon some of these blue states. I mean, we can go to the pension system, we can go to Social Security. No matter what government touches, it goes bankrupt. Medicare, bankrupt. Social Security, bankrupt. Illinois, New Jersey, they can't afford the pension systems because you know what it is? They put it all, everything on the credit card. You know what they should have done? They should have paid the police and fire people up front, and the teachers up front, the value of the service that they're providing, and not put it on the credit card. At least the taxpayers would have been able to assess the value. But instead, They just put it on the credit card, and all went away. Next thing you know, Illinois is going to go bankrupt.
Right. And then what about all those people that are living on their pension? And this is a problem. I think the bigger problem is what you're pointing out, is that this is happening everywhere now. Where does this eventually lead to when 49 states can't afford what they got? What do we do then?
I know, but I'll give you an example. In the private industry, I worked for a big telecommunications company many years ago. I went to work for this company because it was lifetime medical and it was a pension. Well, it was a private company, you know, things went downhill. I lost my medical after 15 years, and I lost most of my pension. Now, nobody was knocking on my door saying, hey, Jim, sorry about that. I made a choice back then, and I'm not saying we should do the same here to the same degree, but I do think we need to reevaluate what's going on in our society, and the real culprit is mismanagement of resources, taxpayer resources.
Right. But the problem I see with that, like in a state like New Jersey, mm-hmm. you and I see that. We recognize that. And we say, okay, there's politicians running for office. Now, this can be on a local level, state level, even our federal level. We're all asking these questions. Who is going to do the best job for our finances and for our country? Now, if you believe that saving money, putting it in the right place, having certain plans is the right thing, you're more of a conservative. And you'll vote for that candidate. In New Jersey and New York and Connecticut and all these other blue states, majority of the people in those states go, yeah, that's good, but we also want to do all this largesse stuff. We also want to do all this, when they want to show how great they are. Look at what we're doing to help everybody. And I believe in helping people, but some of the things, it's just too far gone. And that's the choice we have to make. And Trump said he was going to fix that, that he was going to come in and he was going to be the guy. And that's why these states are fighting them, which is why we have blue states are locked down still and red states are opening up.
And you know something? If I was guaranteed, I'll put it as a taxpayer, if I was guaranteed that our state government was going to be financially prudent from here on with taxpayer money, I think I could buy into bailing out the state. I know people in Arkansas, but I can't guarantee that.
Right.
And that's the problem.
And that's one of the things that's coming up now is, you know, how much bailing out do we do? We're bailing out these big airlines. We're bailing out the cruise industry. Well, why aren't we going to bail out the cops and firemen in Illinois? I mean, it's not them who caused the problem.
Fair statement.
And with that fair statement, we'll take a break and we'll be back with Chasing Justice now that we've solved all the financial problems in the country. We'll be back in a minute.
What if a new treatment backed by 17,000 scientific articles was proven to extend our lifespan, protect against terrible diseases like cancer, heart disease, and dementia, make us more attractive and thinner, feel calmer and happier, and boost energy levels, memory, and performance? What would you pay for even the smallest dose of this treatment? Well, the good news is you don't have to pay anything, because these are just some of the benefits of a full night of quality sleep. If you're one of the millions of Americans who need better quality sleep, the time to change is now. Until now, most sleep aids haven't worked, but a new, easy-to-swallow sleep gel invented by the leading nutrition company, Healthy Cell, is designed to support all four stages of human sleep to help you fall asleep, stay asleep, sleep deep, and wake up refreshed. It's called REM Sleep. To get a free two-night supply of REM Sleep, visit healthycell.com/sleep. That's healthy, CELL.com/sleep.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Chasing Justice. I'm your host, Lieutenant Joe Pangaro. I'm here with Jim, the contrarian Giordano. Now, I say he's a contrarian. He's really not. Jim's a very nice guy, but he's from the neighborhood. And I have gotten some texts while we're sitting here. People are asking, hey, what about rock and roll race car Jack? Jack and his family are fine. Everybody's healthy. And Bill, the man of faith, he is home praying like he always is. And Bill is also doing very, very well. So thank you for asking. I really do appreciate that. So we talked a little bit about finances and where we were going. We talked about, you know, Q, which is a very interesting topic. On the off the beaten path, before we get back, I want to jump into the investigation a little more and what's going on out there with all of this Bob Barr stuff that he's bringing out. But the other night, I'm flipping through social media, and you will remember this, and I'm going to ask you on a cold question to remember this. So I see on the social media these four lights in the shape of a big black triangle. And this guy and his wife are videoing it, not like the hand shaky hands, you know, like you see in all these, oh my God, there they are. And you see, this was like steady as could be. And I'm looking at these lights and he's going, what is that? And somebody said, maybe it's a drone. He's, that is not drones. And they were lights and you could see them. They were getting brighter and darker. They were moving in perfect formation across the sky silently. And it was gigantic. And I looked at that and I said, that seems somehow familiar to me. Do you remember about 2 or 3 years ago, I came rushing to your house, and what did I tell you?
Yes, you walked out, you walked outside of a restaurant with your family, and you saw this large, triangular ship with three lights, but there was no noise to it, and it was flying right over the ocean. But the thing that amazes me is there's a lot of people. It's a densely populated area. And you had to tell people who were sitting on the car talking to each other, look, do you see what I see? And nobody ever noticed.
Yeah, because it looked like stars, but I noticed it because as it was coming, we were about a block and a half from the ocean, and it was wintertime, and it was quiet and still, and I see these lights coming at me, and I'm saying, you know, to come in directly from the ocean, usually you'll see an airplane coming from Europe, and you'll see that, but this was these three lights, and they were in perfect form, and they weren't moving. I know helicopters. I'm an air flight guy. I love all that stuff. These things were not moving like aircraft move. They were steady, rock solid, coming right at us, and I said to my son at the time, I said, Jack, do you see that? And he's looking at it. He goes, what is that? I said, I don't know, and then all of a sudden, it stopped, and then it started going north. Silently, and it was gigantic, and you couldn't see the stars behind it. It was pitch black, and I came racing to your house to tell you I saw this, because Jim's a UFO guy. He knows all about this stuff, and he goes, do you know what the number one UFO sighting in the world is? I said, what? He says, a big black triangle.
It is.
So I just found that really interesting, and I wanted to, if anybody else has seen that out there, because there's places you could call and tell your story, and believe me, Lieutenant Joe is not nuts. There was no tequila involved. It was after dinner with the family, and I saw this. But I saw it on social media the other day, and the guy was screaming. He's like, oh, my God, you got, who do we tell about this? Who do we tell? And I'm saying, you know, I texted him, and I said, I saw the same thing, and I'm not crazy either, right? But all the comments were, maybe it's too much tequila.
Oh, well, it's always that.
You're in the pandemic. No, of course not. Listen, I've enjoyed adult beverages my whole life. They've never made me see things. I don't see green men when I drink. I don't see anything weird. But I just thought that was interesting. I would throw that out there. All right, so what I wanted to get into, Bob Barr, we talked about him in the beginning of the show. And as anybody who knows has been listening here to Chasing Justice for a long time, I've been concerned that he's not going to do the right thing. I'm starting to have a little change of thought here. I'm thinking he might do something. He's got Durham, really, the news reports coming out that he's really digging in. I don't know when we're going to hear about this. We keep hearing any day now. But he's been on these radio shows and TV shows kind of leaking out little things, kind of maybe preparing people, the media response to what's come out with General Flynn. He was railroaded. They lied. They tricked him. The handwriting on the notes about the interview with him, when the FBI agent said, what is the purpose of our interview? Is it to get him to admit things, or is it to get him to lie so we can charge him? Now, as law enforcement guy, that is abhorrent. We want to get him to lie so we can charge him. Is that the purpose? What's the purpose of charging the guy? To make it look like Trump is surrounded by all of these people involved with the Russians. That's the part of the conspiracy. And you see Bob Barr comes out, and he was on one of the Sunday shows, and he talked to Chuck Todd, who's, you know, a big-time liberal guy. And he tells him, he asks him a question. He goes, something about when this came out, you know, what do you think people are going to view with General Flynn? He says, well, the history books are written by the winners, so I guess we'll see how that goes. And then he went on to explain. This was a scam. This was absolutely the appropriate thing to do, to shut this down. And not, you can't charge a man when you fake up the investigation. And they cut that out of the interview. They cut that out so it made it look like he was going, well, you know, just doing the work of Trump. You know how it goes.
They got caught, but they apologized. But you know how news is. The first news everybody listens to, nobody sees the apology.
Right, and actually they haven't apologized. What they came out and says, they said they were sorry. It was an inadvertent editing.
Inadvertent.
Come on. We cut out the entire truth and we all told you a lie. That was inadvertent. what did you mean to do? Right? The other thing is, now that we've actually seen facts on the ground, we've seen truth. We have the Attorney General dismissing a charge against this man. We see that the interviews that Schiff took, nobody saw or heard anything. All these big mouths, Clapper, all of them that are running around, it's guaranteed he did this. There is no evidence whatsoever. All of them are out there. And now, where's the stories going? Holy moly. We got this wrong for 3 years. This is actually the biggest thing that ever happened to our country. Have you seen any?
No. And you won't see any.
You haven't? So therefore, we do not have a media anymore that we can trust, which is why people are so confused about things. It's all opinion-based. There's nothing based on fact and truth. And are they going to have big hearings?
No. The media works for the Democratic establishment. Democratic Party establishment. It's propaganda now. It's no longer fair news where they just reported the information
right. Like
they did 40, 50 years ago. It is just total propaganda.
It's like
the
Pravda.
Mainstream media. Yeah, exactly.
It's like Pravda. They just report whatever the Democrat Party needs, and they cover that story. Look at the Joe Biden and the Me Too thing. Kathleen was on here a couple episodes ago, and we were talking about it. Now, I have a daughter. You have a daughter. We have wives. There's millions of women in our lives that we love. I don't want anyone assaulted. I don't want anyone to be attacked. And I believe that women have to be at least listened to. Now, I've said that all along. You listen to it and investigate it. If it happened, you prosecute the hell out of whoever did it. But we have to give everyone a fair shot when something like this is said. When it's a he said, she said, you got to investigate it. Where's all these Me Too people now? Not even a couple of them. None of them.
No, there's some one person said, I forget who it was, said, I don't care I don't think that he raped it. I don't care. I still support him.
Right. Well, that was a guy from The Hill. He was one of the founders of The Hill. He had left the New York Times after many years. He wrote an article because the New York Times, of all places, came out with an editorial that said, hey, I think we need to look at this. He's now potentially going to be the candidate of our party, of the Democrat Party, and we need to look at these allegations closer. And this guy came out and he goes, I don't want you looking at them closer. And the reason being, if you look at it closer, it might hurt Joe Biden. And that's a shame if this happened, but I would rather win and get rid of Trump than deal with this woman's allegations. What does that say to everyone? You have just basically told these women to shut up and sit down. That's what he just said.
There's too many of the population who just listen to the tidbits on the news, mainstream news media. They never delve into all the information that's out there. And they're the ones who are divided. You know, they're all on the Me Too movement, but they don't know that Joe Biden could be guilty. It seems as though there's a lot of information that is a lot, at least circumstantial at this point, that never even existed with Kavanaugh.
Right,
that
was
all trumped up.
Right.
Meanwhile, we had hearing after hearing after hearing on Kavanaugh. In my opinion, I think those hearings should have been shut down. Yes, we should have listened to anybody who claims, sexual violence needs to be listened to. I get that. But, you know, there's a person on the other side of that. And you can't be convicted due to an allegation. That's not what this country is about.
No, but during the Kavanaugh, the whole thing was, if you're the accusation is enough to convict, you should step down. You should go away. You should be convicted. Now, wait a minute. That's not how our system works. That was changing the entire rule of law because it was a political position.
Now, so disingenuous.
Now we have the other side. We have Joe Biden. And when you bring it up, what do people say? They don't go, hey, listen, we have to believe her. Let's have a hearing. Let's get the FBI involved like they did with Kavanaugh. No, they say, you know what? Well, what about the 27 allegations against Trump? That's their answer. What about the 27 allegation against Trump? What's that got to do?
Not one has that. Even Stormy Daniels. I mean, let's go back in recent history. Remember Stormy Daniels? Listen, when Trump was a young billionaire, do you think he, in my opinion, could have he had a fling with a Playboy model? Maybe. But there's nothing illegal about that.
No, and he paid her off. Well, he paid her off because a lot of powerful men do that. And then they go to you because people will turn around and say, I'm going to tell everybody what you did.
But there's no proof that he has done that. But even if he did,
right. Okay,
there's no rape involved here. It was all consensual. I mean, what do I care?
Right. And that whole rape thing, about Trump. What they said, because he talked to that TV guy, and he said to him, hey, when you're a rich and famous guy, they let you run right up and grab them by the pee, right? He didn't say, I run up and grab women by the pee. He said, women let you do that. Now, I'm sure you can make an insinuation that what he's saying, they let you do it, so he's done it. But that's not what he said. He was doing stupid guy talk that people
Women don't understand that, Joe. And, you know, because when I bring this up with my wife, I mean, how many stupid... when you say guy talk, they get offended.
Well, of course. We're in a different place. They get offended. Now.
But you and I know what locker room talk is about because we grew up as men. And there was locker room talk, and... you know, as we got older and we had children, yes, we don't do the locker room talk.
And you realize anymore. You should be more respectful. You know, maybe some of the things we said back in the day, they just were not appropriate. But you were a kid. You said stupid things.
But it's not about Trump, who did not commit a crime here. Right. He said something that was, it could be perceived as very crude.
And it was crass. Right. Absolutely.
But he didn't commit a crime. But Biden.
She's gone. I'm telling you, as a criminal investigator, if you had a victim come in and do all the things and say the things that she has said and done, you would certainly pursue an investigation, without a doubt.
What about Clinton? How many times were there women, accusations of rape? And let me tell you something, there's a lot of good supporting evidence.
And they laugh it
support.
Off.
They laugh it, they don't care,
I think
they brush it off,
it points
or they
out,
got killed.
It points out the double standard very, very clearly, and it's unfortunate for all the women out there that have been assaulted, that deserve to be respected, and they deserve to get justice. What you're having now is the Me Too thing. It came on hard, but now it's not really right. And you know what? They lost a lot of Democrats along the way when it started. All the TV people that were all Democrat, this, that, and the other thing, all got caught. But now all of a sudden, it's over. Not a word. And that is an injustice to all the women who have legitimate complaints.
Absolutely.
And I find that horrific. I don't know if Joe Biden did it or not. But based on the story she's telling, as an investigator, I would say, that sounds credible. There's at least credibility to start an investigation.
And based upon some of his creepy antics, you know, some people said, oh, it's like a grandfather. Okay, I guess I can buy that, but there's something about it that just was creepy.
I don't know. I wouldn't go around manhandling young women like the way he does, even though, you know, I'm grandpa age, you know. I wouldn't do it. You wouldn't touch someone else's child like that, or, you know... I don't get it. But you know what? That's probably his personality. I'm not saying that's indicative that he's a molester or anything. I'm just saying it's weird. It's uncomfortable.
The older generation was a lot more open to this type of thing because there was this fear of being accused of...
Right.
Of, you know...
And he really should keep his hands to himself. That's the bottom line. You know, I get that.
Exactly.
You know, everyone should keep their hands to themselves. Everybody should be respectful. And times have changed. Right or wrong, what was considered acceptable back in the day is not anymore. And you shouldn't do it. It's as simple as that. I get it. We should all get it. But that's where we have to agree. Your answer to a woman coming forward and making this allegation with credibility is not to say, well, what about Trump? That's not an answer. You're not addressing her concern. Let's address her concern the same as we did the concern about Kavanaugh. Because I was wide open to that. I said, all right, I think it's a trick because they come up with this every time. Every time there's an election or somebody appointed to something that's a conservative or a Republican, you know, they're a rapist, they're a racist, they're a hater, they're, you know, whatever. There's always something that comes up out of nowhere and here it is. But I said, okay, let's look at this. If this happened, if any of this happened, this woman's coming forward, let's listen to her, let's see what she has to say.
Imagine
and then it fell apart.
Kavanaugh and being dragged through that.
His wife and his kids.
Your wife, your kids.
And then the guy, his daughter asks about it, and he says, let's pray for those people. Right? I don't know how I would have that kind of a response. I'd be pretty angry if they did that.
You know, he did show some... But, you know, they not only did the Kavanaugh. Remember what they did with Clarence Thomas many, many years ago?
Every conservative gets the same treatment.
Exactly.
You know, and they're hatching plots right now. Who's the young guy? I can't think of his name. Forgive me. He's a young guy. He just was put on the bench. He's up for the bench in Washington. And all of a sudden, he has no... Because when he compared some religious violations of someone's religious rights, he brought up some scripture and he talked about it historically. And this guy's bringing up religious stuff that should have nothing to do with it. He should step down immediately. No, if you're doing a decision about a religious thing, he brought context into it. To try and explain it. I found nothing wrong with it at all. I wouldn't care what religion he brought in. If that was the religion of the person affected, I would bring that in for context. And that's what he did. But it's an attack on every conservative. But let me run this out to you. Let me throw this out to America. Two things. We want to reopen the country. And blue states are saying no. Red states are saying yes. If you come out on social media and say you want to go out in the world, people inundate you. I talked about how I put something out and I was inundated with people that I was a killer. I want to murder people. It went on and on. What if we were to say, okay, you want to do mail-in voting? We know that's not going to work. That's a scam waiting to happen. So here's what we're going to do. We'll put the election off until the next November.
But don't we have absentee ballots? Don't we have absentee ballots? What's the difference between that and absentee ballots?
Right. No, there's not. You can do an absentee ballot right now. You can.
Then why do we need mail-in voting? Because they can't cheat as much.
That's right.
On a mail.
They're trying to, exactly what they're trying to do. It's over and over. We want to have, registration because, people can't have ID. You need an ID to get on an airplane to buy a soda. You can't go out of your house now. You have to have ID. If the cop stops you, what are you doing on the corner? How come you're playing baseball?
Doesn't the Constitution require that you be an American citizen to vote?
Yeah.
Well, why is this an issue then?
It's an issue because it can be twisted. It can be. How many times, every time there's an election, when it's close, we find out the Democratic guy who was in the voting booth, he found 40,000 votes in the trunk of his car that he forgot about. Every single time. How does that happen every single time?
I know. I'm afraid that my mail-in, if I had a Trump sign out, and that vote, that absentee ballot goes in the mailbox.
Gone. Depends on who gets it. So, as we're looking at this stuff, as we're going forward, it's going to be interesting in the days and weeks ahead. I'm hoping to see Bob Barr do justice for those who deserve justice. And we are all part of that, who deserves justice, the American
citizens.
What
happens if you and I see justice, and he's partially played out the way we want, but half the population thinks it's nothing but a political ploy? Because you know that's what the Democrats are going to do. That they've already started. They've attacked Barr. They've attacked anybody associated with this investigation.
Right. They're doing Trump's bidding, and therefore they should all step down and go away. Unless it comes out Democrats were all good, it's going to be a fraud.
And then Soros, pays for the people to riot in the streets.
Well, that's why, here's what you do. You have to have, I saw Lindsey Graham the other night, and they keep asking him, Lindsey, you've been saying for 3 years you're going to have these hearings, and you're still nothing. And he says, listen, I'm not going to interfere with the investigation that's going on. When that's over, you watch. We're going to have hearings. Whatever comes out in Bob Barr's thing, unless they indict all these people, now you have hearings under oath in the Capitol during the day, and you broadcast it, and you get these people to take the oath and stand there and say, didn't you say this in public, and didn't you say this over there? And then you prove to people that those are the liars. Listen, Jim, we could go on and on with this. I appreciate you coming into the neighborhood here. It's everybody being safe and healthy. Let's watch out for each other, and we'll be back here on Chasing Justice on the America Out Loud Radio Network. Remember, be a part of the solution, not a part of the problem.